Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
We started a brand new series last week called Taking Control of Your Thoughts. And if you missed it, don't feel bad about it. I'm going to give you a recap. What we're doing is we're taking a look at our minds and our brains and the thoughts that we think and really looking to see what Scripture says about how we can kind of manage that process, because Scripture actually has a lot to say about our thoughts and our thinking. And so we're digging into that whole idea of taking control of our thoughts and not letting our thoughts have control over our lives. So last week, we really laid the foundation for what happens when we think a thought, right? We learned that our thoughts are not just ethereal little things that just float around. Our thoughts are actually real things. They occupy real space inside of our brains. And every time we think a thought, it's actually creating a real physical neurological connection in our brains that's connecting to other thoughts, that's connecting to other parts of our brains and other processes. So the more that we think a thought, that connection is strengthened, it's built, right? And that's why it's once we think something once and twice, the more we think it, it becomes incredibly easy to think it again. So what happens is then we begin to think it more and we think it more. And before long, that connection now is the default pathway for the way that our thoughts travel and how we interpret everything that we experience. So our thoughts are incredibly powerful. They're incredibly important. It's why it's so important for us to take control of our thoughts and not let our thoughts have control of us, right? So we talked about this whole idea. We introduced us to Dr. Caroline Leaf, who's a neuroscientist, and she spent 27 years studying the brain and our thinking and how our thoughts work. And she says that our thoughts are so powerful that we were wired for positive thinking. We are wired for good thinking. And so when we begin thinking thoughts that are negative, or we begin thinking bad thoughts, we begin believing a lie, maybe from our spiritual enemy, the devil, we begin thinking toxic thoughts, our brains weren't designed to handle that. So what happens inside of our brain when we think that way is that then our brain reacts the same way as if we were cut or we received an injury. In a sense, all the antibodies and all the things to create, you know, the bruise or the inflammation there to protect it and heal that area. Our brain reacts the same way when negative or toxic thoughts come inside of our brain. It sends all this attention there to fight off as if it were fighting off an infection. It's pretty amazing. The problem is when we begin to think on that negative thought again, we begin to strengthen that neurological connection, that real connection in our brain. And the more that we think it, the more it's strengthened, the more we think we're not good enough and that we could never be this, that we'll never get out of the situation that we're in and all this kind of stuff, those thoughts are strengthened. And then before long, that becomes the default way our body thinks. So now our brain used to send those signals to fight off that infection that came in as a thought, that real thing that was in our brain. But now that we've strengthened that thought and we've built these pathways to this thought, our body begins to stop sending those things out. And that's when we begin to see mental illness come in. We start to see all kinds of things, and it begins to affect our entire body because of the thoughts that we've thought, right? Our brain is amazing. God made us fearfully and wonderfully. So our brains and our thoughts are incredibly important, right? Our thinking shapes our believing. It shapes our speaking. Our thinking shapes even how we act. I say it this way, our lives are a reflection of the thoughts that we think. It's good to know. So like we are where we are today because of the thoughts that we think. So we're not a victim of our past. We're not a victim of our biology. We are where we are today because of something that we have believed, and we've thought that and we've strengthened it, and now it's coming out in our lives, right? So we talked about this last week. We began building this foundation of Scripture, how we have the ability to renew our minds. So we don't have to sit there and be like, well, I just think all these bad things, so this just must be who I am. I'm a bad thinker. No, no, no. The reality is God has given us the ability, He's given us His power to change the way we think. So we can change our thinking, we can change the things that we do, we can change the things that we're experiencing, and we have the ability to do it. So how are we going to do it? That's what we're talking about over this series. So if you missed the message last week, it's incredibly important. I would encourage you, get on the podcast. If you prefer audio, there's a link on our website. If you like video, you can get on our YouTube channel and subscribe there for videos. But over these next 3 weeks of this series, we're going to be digging into some practical things that we can put in place in our lives to help us in this process of renewing our mind on a daily basis. So if you're taking notes, today the word of the Lord is training your mind. It's time to train our minds. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This has really been the theme for our series, kind of giving us this foundation from Scripture where this whole idea of taking control of our thoughts came from. It says this in verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." So that word transformed there is to be changed, to be altered, right? To not stay the same or being changed, right? So the reality is if God is telling us to change, that we should be transformed, then we must be able to do it. Or He wouldn't have asked us to do it. So we have the ability to change what we think. We have the ability to change our opinions. We don't have to be set in our ways. That's a choice. We have the ability to change the way we think. We have the ability to change the way we interact with people. We have the ability to change the way we react to people. We have the ability to change the way we're thinking, right? This is what He's telling us. He says, be transformed, right? We have this ability to change. So it's just, it's good news for us to know that we're not relegated to just do whatever our flesh feels like. We're not relegated to just be however we feel like we are. That's what our culture tells us. Well, if you feel this way today, then that's who you are. No, that's not who we are, right? We're not relegated to just respond however we feel in that moment. We're not relegated to just be stuck the way we are. No, we can be changed, right? And maybe you're thinking, that just seems so hard, Pastor. I'm not doing that now. You're right. It's not easy, or everyone would do it. Right, but I'm just glad to be talking to a bunch of people who've decided, hey, I need to renew my mind. I have the power of God working in my life. I can do it. Tell your neighbor, say, I can do it. And tell your second choice, the one on the other side, say, you can do it too. That's right, they can do it too. So Paul writes, be transformed. How do we do that? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love this next part of the verse because it's where we see the promise of God in it for us, right? So he says, when we renew our minds, then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't that good to know? That we can know God's will, right? We don't have to feel like we don't know what it is. Like, we can know it. And He told us how to do it, right? Hey, when we begin to renew our minds, then we're going to be growing our understanding of what God's will is and what He wants us to do, what He has for us, right? And it's good. His will for us is good. It's pleasing, His perfect will. So we can have confidence and rest in God's promises, right? Because we know right there, like we can know His will. So we can have confidence in knowing like God is for me. God is not against me. Like God wants me to know His will probably more than I want to know His will, right? Like we can have confidence in knowing it. Like God is speaking to us. Like I can have confidence even when I feel like He's not speaking, right? Even when I'm like, God, what's going on? Where are you in this? Like we can rest and have confidence. We can also rest in His promises, right? Now, rest is not like, oh, good, I can kick back, I can sleep in, I can put my feet up and not have to do anything. That's not rest, okay? Rest is like, I'm not worried or anxious. I have rest. I can be at peace. I'm not in anguish. I'm not, you know, you understand, like, that's rest. The other thing is just relaxing, okay? But rest is I can be in a storm and be at rest. Like, didn't Jesus sleep in the boat in the middle of a storm? Okay, I'm just saying. That's not even the message today. So we're creating new pathways in our minds and we're breaking down these old ones. So we can create new neurological pathways in our brains and we can break down old ones. We do this. This is the process of renewing our minds. This is what we're doing. We're letting the Word of God come in and renew our minds. The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote this passage of Scripture in Romans. And I think if anybody experienced this whole thing of being transformed, of being changed, it was our friend, the Apostle Paul. When the first time we see him, his name's not even Paul. His name is Saul. And he's there and he hates Christians. He hates their stinking guts, and he hates them so much, he would go and he would get permission from rulers and people in authority. Hey, can I go persecute the Christians? Can I have your permission? Can I throw them in jail? And they gave him permission, and he traveled all over and did just that. He threw people in jail. If you believed in Jesus, you gone, baby. He gone, you know, like that's what he was doing. He hated Christians. But the interesting thing happened with Paul is that he's on the way to do that. He's on the way to persecute some Christians, which, by the way, I would encourage you, man, pray for the church, like the capital C church, because that type of persecution happens in this world still today. So we need to pray for people who, you know, live in our country and other countries who are experiencing that. So Paul's on the road and Jesus appears to him. He has this encounter with Jesus, right? So before Paul meets Jesus, he's going one way. He's Saul. He's a bad dude, right? And he's going this way. He meets Jesus and he has this moment with Jesus and now his life is changed. He's completely different. He was going this way. Now he's this way. He was Saul. Now he's Paul. He was doing his thing. Now he spends the rest of his life doing what God has called him to do. So there's a moment when we meet Jesus where things change, right? Like we change. Now that doesn't mean that we're just instantly made perfect and we're the perfect Christian. No, that's the renewal process. That's the renewing of our mind. And we see that in Paul's life and in his writing, the process of what he went through to renew his mind. And so he gets to the end of his life and he's able in this place. He wanted to go to Rome and be this preacher and preach the gospel. He went to Rome, but in chains, he was a prisoner waiting death, right? That's a good place to be. And it's like, tongue. That's not a good place to be. Paul wrote about it and said it was good. Anyways, so he's there. He wanted to be doing one thing. He didn't get to do what he wanted to do. He's in chains, but yet he's able to encourage people. He's able to write these letters that just and say things that just seem beyond reality because he had used the supernatural power of God to renew his mind. So no matter what he faced, he was able to understand on a different level. That's why when he went through everything that he went through, like he was beaten with rods, he was stoned, not the 70s kind. He was, you know, shipwrecked. He was lost at sea, just had to clarify. And all these things that he went through, he was given lashes 5 times. Man, he went through some crazy stuff, and yet he was able to have rest and joy and peace and teach and speak life into people in the middle of those things. Why? Because he had renewed his mind. He had renewed his mind. So all the things of this life did not affect him in that way because he had renewed his mind. So he writes this letter in the Roman prison to this church in this little town called Philippi, right? This letter is where we get our book of the Bible, Philippians, right? So he writes this amazing letter to them. He's encouraging them, giving the church instruction. And at the end, in chapter 4, he says, okay, with all that said, I want to give you one last thing. If I could tell you nothing else, let me tell you this. And this is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says this, finally, brothers and sisters. This is like his third closing, right? If you've ever been around preachers, you know, like they say, I'm closing. They got 2 or 3 more. He says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Right? So he's giving us instruction here. One translation says, fix your thoughts on what is noble, on what is true, on what is lovely. Right? Fix your thoughts. The New King James Version says, meditate on those things. To meditate on those kinds of things. So Paul is saying, if you miss everything else, if I could only tell you one thing, let me tell you this. Fix your thoughts on things that are good. Fix your thoughts on truth, on what God says, on those things. Fix your thoughts. Why is Paul putting so much emphasis on this teaching? Because whatever thoughts we think on and dwell on the most will come out in our lives. Okay, let me say that again. Whatever thoughts we think on and dwell on the most will come out in our lives. It's just true. So if we can't get control of what's rolling around in our heads, we'll never get control of what we're doing. right? We starts by renewing our minds, right? I love golf. Any other golfers in the house? Anybody? You don't have to be a professional. My man Darren right here, he's a good golfer, right? Golf is an awesome, awesome sport to play, awesome thing to do. I am no professional, okay? But it's fun. But there's these things on golf courses called hazards, okay? Hazards are the forest on the side of the fairway. There's ball eaters in the forest. And there's ponds, and there are ball eaters in the ponds. They're called alligators. Don't go in the ponds, right? And there's sand traps. Nobody really minds the sand traps because you can find your ball out of there. But it's the forest. If it goes in the forest, I ain't going in there, and I ain't going in the pond if it goes in there. I've hit my fair share in both of those. Don't be mocking my game, all right? But what's interesting about all these hazards is you can get on the tee and have good intentions. I want to get a birdie. I want to get an eagle. And you get up there on the tee and you start getting set. You know, you get in your position and you start looking down the fairway and you see the pond over there. And what happens is you're like, don't hit it in the pond. Don't hit it in the pond. Don't hit it in the pond. You keep looking at the pond. It's over there. I'm going to hit it over here. Don't hit it in the pond, right? And so then as the golfer, you go back, you hit your shot, you know, and the ball's going, went in the pond. Because all the while I was standing there, don't hit it in the pond, don't hit it in the pond. And that's where it went, right? Why? Because the things that we think on the most are going to come out in our lives. And I, obviously there are other reasons in my game why I probably hit it in the pond. So, but it's just true in life. The things that we think on, the things that we dwell on the most are going to come out of our lives. So for us as Christian, the good news is like we can get control of our thoughts. We can get rid of stinking thinking. I'm from Oklahoma, so stinking and thinking don't have a G. They have apostrophe on the end, in case you're wondering. Stinking, thinking, right? Like, we can get rid of that. Like, we don't have to let those things dominate our lives. We have the ability to get rid of worry, to get rid of anxiety, to get rid of all those things and to let peace come in, to think on joy, to think on things that are good and honest and lovely and pure and just and of a good report. Sometimes I hear people say all the time, well, I just can't get this out of my mind. I just can't stop thinking about this. Well, that's just a lie. That's a lie. The truth is we have the ability to get things out of our head and to get things into our head. It's just what we've allowed. So we've got to get control of some things rolling around in our heads. So we don't have to let our thoughts control us. We're not obligated to think every thought that comes at us. Right? Okay. Here's what I mean by that. We go through life. We go through our days, right? Thoughts are coming at us all the time. Anybody else? You're not obligated to think every thought that comes at you, yeah. Right? Okay, it's like if you go to Publix or Walmart, wherever you like to grocery shop, and you're walking down the ice cream aisle, there's lots of flavors all around you. There's drumsticks, there's Klondike bars, there's chocolate, double chocolate, Rocky Road, you know, cookie dough, all kinds of stuff out there. I'm going to Publix on the way home, so, right? But just because those ice creams are all around me doesn't mean I'm obligated to buy them all. Nobody said I had to, right? Same thing with our thoughts. I'm not obligated to think every thought that comes at me. Like, I have control over the thoughts that we think on, right? Let me say that again. We have control over the thoughts that we think on. When a thought comes at me, having the thought is not the problem. It's when I stop and I start to think about it. Yeah, okay. And then it comes back and I think it again. Yeah, that's right. I am worried about that. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to work out. What if I lose my job? Yeah, I chose to think those thoughts, but I have control over them. We have control over the thoughts that we think, right? So today, what I want to do is give us two keys to training our mind towards truth. Training our mind towards truth, because we're going to renew our minds, right? And can I say this? It's not just, this is not just like, we need to think positive thoughts, right? It's not like a pep talk, okay? It's thinking even like a good thought is not even the same as thinking on truth. Okay, so it's more than just thinking, oh, they're a nice person. No, we're talking about moving away from some lies that we believe and like filling our mind with truth from God's word, because it's the truth from God's word that renews our mind. So two keys to training our mind towards God's truth. Tell your neighbor, say, it's time to train your mind. That's right. It's time to train our minds. Maybe you're wondering, I can train my mind? Absolutely, you can train your mind. The truth is, your mind has been trained already by the life that we've lived. Like, we've allowed our mind to be trained by different things. And so now it's time for us to retrain our minds. We've got to train our mind. It's the similar in how we train our bodies, right? If you go to the gym all the time, right, and you do some bicep curls, you do some crunches and some presses, some squats, some planks, and a bunch of other exercises I don't know the name to, like, don't be judging, okay? Oh, lots of exercises out there. But if you're going to the gym, you're doing those things, what are you doing? We're training our muscles to grow. We're training our body to do something, right? But we can't buy into the illusion that just by lifting some weights that now I'm healthy. Because health is about more than just what I do with my body. It's really also about what I put into my body, right? So we can't just take one piece of the puzzle and say, well, now I'm healthy. No, just as much as what we do with it, about what we put in it, the same is true with our mind. If we're going to retrain our mind, it's not about just what we do with it as much as what we put in it. Right? A lot of people do mental exercises, but they're not doing mental exercises in association with the truth of God's word. So they're just doing something with it, but they're not putting truth in there. So there's not producing mental health. So if we really want to see mental health, we've got to start with what's going inside, right? We see the opposite in our culture, don't we?
Yeah.
Right? We see mental health on the decline. Well, it really shouldn't surprise us. Right? Because we see in our culture tells us, yeah, go ahead, watch TV shows and movies full of graphic sexual scenes that are abusive by nature and all kinds of stuff. Go ahead and play games and watch things that celebrate murder, right? Go ahead and listen to music that is full of lyrics about living a promiscuous lifestyle and sleeping with people that you're not married to. Go ahead and listen to people talk on television who are full of profanity and they speak in deceit and they slander other people. It's no wonder that mental health is on the decline, because people have taken these things, filled their mind with them, and we know that whatever we think on and dwell on the most is going to come out in our lives. So it should be no surprise when we listen to a song over and over, and we let our kids listen to songs over and over about their clothes are together on their room and they're doing all this stuff all night, that then our kids grow up and they live in lifestyles where they're living with their boyfriend and people they're not married to. It's because it's what we put in them when they were little and they grew up thinking that this is normal when it's not. So we shouldn't be surprised that what comes out of us because of what we put in us. Right? So we've got to begin to put truth in there. We've got to begin to retrain ourselves, especially as Christians, to retrain ourselves to the truth of God's word and stop just accepting everything the world puts out there. Like, it's probably not a sin to listen to secular music, okay? But it's just not going to train your mind to the things of God. It's just not going to produce godliness in you. It's not going to produce a faith in you that's going to stand firm when life comes crazy at you. So, man, it's just so important. We've got to, and people tell us, like, oh, well, you know, you got to be in the world and part of it, and part of that is not, like, that's a bunch of baloney. You don't have to listen and go and watch and be a part of everything to be in the world and to love people. Oscar Mayer wishes it made baloney that good. We're talking about ice cream and bologna in church. Somebody's hitting up Walmart today. Come on, it's good to have fun. Right? We got to put the right things in if we want to have health in ourselves, right? So as believers, what are we going to do? We're going to just train our minds towards truth. Like, it's simple. We're going to train our minds towards truth. So two keys to training our mind toward truth. The first one is this. If you're taking notes, write it down. Is we need to meditate on truth. We need to meditate on it. Got to meditate on it. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, meditation? Is this the right church? I'm not talking about like being one with the universe or sitting on a mat. Oh, like, it's not what I'm talking about. See, God made meditation, okay? Our spiritual enemy did what he loves to do. He loves to take something good that God made, take it and distort it, twist it, and deceive people. And that's what he did with meditation. So now people have this thing when you say meditation, that it's this thing where I empty myself of all this stuff so I can get to a higher state of whatever, a higher plane, and find my inner peace and all this stuff. And that's just as much a baloney as Oscar Mayer dishes out, okay? That's not meditation. Meditation is filling myself with truth from God's word. That's meditation. Let me show you in scripture so you don't take my word for it. Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. Says, I meditate. Everybody say, I meditate. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Psalms 143, verse 5. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate. Everybody say, I meditate. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. So meditation is helping to train our mind. It's helping us to focus on the truth of God's word. Why is it doing it? Because that's what we're filling our minds with it. In order to meditate on it, I've got to fill myself with it. So maybe your prayer time is like mine sometimes, right? You get up in the morning and you're like, I'm about to have the best prayer time ever. Jesus, you better get ready. You don't even know how good this prayer time's about to be. You better buckle up because I'm coming, right? Like, isn't that like we're like all excited? I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. It's going to be good. It's going to be good, right? And then you're like, dear Jesus, I worship you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Be with my wife today. Be with my kids today. Thank you for keeping them safe. I've got that meeting today. I didn't prepare for it. What's my phone buzzing about it? I hear it over there. Doesn't the coffee smell good? Right? And then my prayer time lasted for 19 seconds, you know? And I'm like, oh, because my mind wandered, right? So I didn't focus my mind. I didn't fix my thoughts. I didn't train my mind to have that time, right? So we've got to, that's what meditating on the word does, is it trains my mind to be focused, right? So often people are like, well, I'm just not disciplined. I just can't focus. I just can't this. I've got this AD, whatever. I just can't do these things. No. We're not a victim to all those things. We're not a victim to our biology. We're not a victim to a diagnosis. The truth is that we have been given the ability to train our thinking. We can do all things. In fact, you can be a disciplined person. And I would just tell you, like, start with one thing. Start with one thing in your life and begin to train yourself on doing that one thing every day. What it is? Maybe you need to make your bed every day. Maybe you need to just start by reading your Bible every day or whatever. Find one thing and be, because what that's going to do is that's going to teach yourself you're a disciplined person because look what I've been doing this one thing every day. Like we can do it. It's just a retraining process. So with meditating on the word and prayer time and all those things, I've got to retrain my mind to be focused on the word. So what I've been doing in my prayer time is I've been starting out getting there, thanking the Lord. Thank you, God, for this day. And I just begin to meditate on a scripture. Maybe you'll get one, you know, from your YouVersion Bible app, verse of the day, or maybe you'll take one from the messages here on Sundays. And I begin to think it. I begin to take a deep breath, and I begin to say the scripture, thank you, Lord, that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of power, you've given me a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. And then I say where it's found, 2 Timothy 1:8, right? And I just take another deep breath, right? Because I'm filling my mind, thank you, Lord, you've given me the spirit of power. You've given me a spirit of love. You've given me a spirit of a sound mind. I can love people that I don't understand, that don't agree with me. I can love people that hate me, that talk about me. Thank you, Lord. I have a sound mind. And I begin to meditate on it, right? Then I begin to write it down. I begin to write it because I'm meditating on it. And so that the reason I write it down or I put it in my phone and I type it in, because then I go throughout the rest of my day, right? And life starts happening, stuff at work starts happening, people start talking crazy around me, driving crazy around me, things that, you know, I get the mail and there's bills and like all kinds of stuff happening. And like, there's moments where I've got to go back because I'm retraining my mind. I got to go back to the truth. I'm not fearful. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. I can do this, right? And then a little bit later, you know, right? You know, the thoughts come again. I'm paying bills and I know God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I have abundance at all times for everything and I abound in every good work, right? I'm retraining my mind. If you wake up in the middle of the night, and you feel worried and like, what's going on? No, I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm retraining my mind. I'm meditating on the word day and night, right? This is what the picture of meditation that we get in the book of Joshua. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua has just become the leader of the people of Israel. He succeeded one of the greatest leaders in history, Moses, and now he's got to lead. He's a little freaked out. God, how am I going to do this? And here he is, and God starts speaking to him, giving him some instruction. Right? And in the instruction, we see this principle of meditating on the word and how it works and what happens when we do it. Joshua 1:8, it says this. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Now, he doesn't mean to put the Bible in your mouth, like the pages don't taste good, okay? That's not what it means. He's talking about keeping it on your lips, keeping it in your dialogue, in your speech, keep it in your inner dialogue, right? Keeping it in there, rolling it around. It's meditating. I keep this book of the law in always on your lips, right? Right. Sometimes people say they just have this thought in the back. They just always have this thought in the back of their heads, right? Well, can I just tell you, that's because we haven't taken that thought captive, made it obedient to Christ. So how about instead of just letting all this fear and worry and stuff roll around in the back of our head, how about we start letting the Word of God roll around in the back of our head? Like, this is meditation. I'm keeping it always on my lips. He says, meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Now, here's the promise in it. It wasn't just, you better do this. No, there's a promise in it for us. He says, when you meditate on it, when you keep it on your lips, right? He says, then you'll be prosperous and successful. Come on! I don't think y'all heard me. He said that when we meditate on the word, when we keep it on our lips day and night, then you're going to be successful. You're going to be prosperous. You're going to be looking good. Everything you set your hand to prospers. You know what I'm saying? That's good right there. It's a good promise for us. I'm preaching about 87% better than y'all are amening today, but it's okay. So at the very simplest place, meditating on God's word is retraining our mind to truth, right? Retraining our mind to truth, right? Because so many people have mixed up facts and truth. It may be a fact that there's a disease or there's a lack, but the truth is that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. The truth is that we serve Jehovah Jireh and he always sees ahead and provides. It may be a fact, but what's the truth? And just so many people have settled on the fact and that's all there's going to be and that's what they believe because that's what they think about. Versus those of us who are just going to say, you know what, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to let the truth of God's word become real in my life. I'm going to meditate on that thing. I'm going to begin to speak it out, right? Meditating on God's word. We're taking every thought captive, making it obedient to Christ, right? It's good. So two keys to retraining our mind to truth. The first one is we're going to meditate on it. The second one is this. We're going to begin to speak it. We got to begin to speak it, right? So in order for us to really refocus our minds and retrain our minds, we've got to begin to let it pass out of our lips. What was it that he said in Joshua 1:8? Keep this book of the law on your lips. Like, it's got to be in our speech. It's got to become part of our vocabulary more than the doubt, more than the worry, more than all the fears. We've got to begin to speak it. So if I get a bad report from the doctor about my health or the health of a loved one, I can say whatever I want. I can say all kinds of things, and people do it all the time. But if that happens to me, what if I begin to speak what God's word says? If I begin to speak the truth that says that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. There may be this bad report, but I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been bought with a price, right? And then maybe in the middle of the day, someone comes up to me and is like, oh, that's terrible. I don't know how you're going to deal with it. This is how I'm going to deal with it, right? Jesus bore all my sickness and bore all my infirmities. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, right? It says in Psalms, God keeps all of my bones and none of them are broken or out of place, right? Like, and then, you know, maybe, you know, then somebody calls, a family member calls, good intentions, and starts saying all this stuff. Hey, I've been redeemed by Jesus' stripes. I'm healed. I'm beginning to speak it out. Because I set the direction of my life. But what I think on, right? Right thinking leads to right speaking, which leads to right believing. So often people start in this whole thing like, okay, pastor, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start speaking the word. I'm going to start meditating on it. I did it for a couple days and I didn't really feel different. I didn't really see anything happening. So I don't know. Maybe this thing doesn't work. Listen, if you go to the gym for 3 days, you ain't going to have 20-inch biceps. Right? I mean, if you go to that gym, they're probably putting something in there that's not good for you. It don't work that way, right? So we gotta keep at it. Maybe it's gonna take a couple days, maybe a couple weeks, but as we begin to do it, we continue to meditate on it, we continue to speak it, what's gonna happen is that we're gonna begin to hear ourselves speaking the word, and we know faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I'm building faith within myself, and then I begin to be strengthened. So now my right thinking has led to my speaking, which is in turn changing the thing that I believe, because I'm continually speaking it. And then before long, now my faith is strengthened, and now I actually believe this thing, and it don't scare me when there's not enough, because I serve Jehovah Jireh, and there's always more than enough. He's the God of abundance. It doesn't scare me when there is this disease, because I know I've been healed, I've been redeemed, right? And it's changing us because we've diligently renewed our mind, but we've got to get it on our lips. I can't tell you enough. It's got to become part of our language, right? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, right? But the sword of the Spirit is activated by our spoken word, right? So the word, the sword, is a weapon that will never defeat the enemy until it's spoken on your lips. You can't take your Bible and wave it around, and you can't even fence with it and expect it to do anything. You know what I mean? Like it is, we take it out of the sheath, right? By speaking it with our words, by speaking it out. So we've got to, as Christians, we've got to begin to put away the voices of doubt, the language of doubt, the language of cursing, all that stuff, and allow the word of God to be the thing on our lips and take it out of its place and begin to use it and activate it, because it's activated by our lips. So every day we start this process of renewing our minds, of meditating on the word, of beginning to speak in day in and day out. What are we doing? We're transforming ourselves. We're changing ourselves by renewing our mind. So we begin, we meditate on it, we write it down, we begin to speak it out, we do this process, we meditate on the word, we pray the word, we begin to write it down, type it in our phone, put it all over, we begin to speak it out. This is retraining our mind away from some lies that we've believed to the truth of God's word. So last week, when we in the message, we talked about two things that we were going to do. And hopefully this week, you've been doing those two things with the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about, first of all, identifying the biggest lie that we've believed. Where is the biggest lie that we've believed in our lives? Maybe it's something bad. Maybe it's something that no one else would think is really bad, but just an area maybe where we've gotten sloppy, a little lazy, and we've just begun to believe some voices that were speaking into us. We've begun to believe a lie. So what's the biggest lie that we believe? The second thing we're going to identify is, what is the truth that demolishes that lie? What is the truth from God's word that demolishes the lie that we've believed, right? Because we know that scripture says that God has given us his explosive, dynamic power to destroy strongholds of everything that doesn't come from God. He's given us the ability, the power to do that. So then it's up to us to do that. We do that by taking thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ, right? So what is the truth? So how do we demolish those things with the truth? Well, it's what we talked about today, training our mind. So once I've identified the truth, now I begin to meditate on that truth. So if maybe the lie is I believe that I'm not good enough, that I could never be them, I'll never be as successful, people won't think I'm good enough. So I begin to find the truth from God's word that says that I'm more than a conqueror, that I've been called and chosen, that I'm a royal priest, that God has called me out of darkness into his light, that I'm his son, that he created me on purpose, that he's, right? Like I begin to identify the truth, and then I begin to meditate on it day and night. Thank you, God, that you fearfully and wonderfully made me. Lord God, that you set my feet on the rock, that you lead me with your spirit and with your presence. I don't live in fear to other people's opinions. Thank you, God. You are the one that called me. You are the one that equipped me. We begin to retrain our minds, right? We begin to speak it out. We begin to meditate on it. So we do this, we're retraining our minds, because it's the truth of God's word. The thing that we think on the most, the thing that we dwell on the most, is going to be what comes out of our lives. So we've got to retrain our minds. Can we just do this over these next few minutes? Can we just stand up all across this room? I want to end a little differently today. Just everyone all across the room, stand up. I want to pray for two groups of people in the room today. The first group I want to pray for is maybe there's you're here and you've believed maybe the biggest lie of all. And that's that God would never love you, that God's mad at you. Maybe you feel like I've messed up too badly and God would never want me. Or maybe you felt like God was mad at you. Or maybe you've known God in the past. You've walked with Him, but there's been some things come and you've had doubts. Maybe someone hurt you. There's been some situations that you just felt like weren't explained. God, where are you? I felt like you abandoned me. The truth is that God loves you. God wants to be close to you. He wants to help you in those hurting places. He wants to be there with you, to be the place that you run to. But we've got to just invite Him to be in our lives. We've got to open our hearts and say, God, I need you. So maybe you're here in this place today, and maybe you've never made the decision to know Christ, or maybe you're in that place, you need to make that decision again. You need to recommit your life to God because you've just been far from Him. Today you're saying, Pastor, I'm making that decision today. I need Christ in my life. We're just right where you are. I know everyone's looking around the room. That's okay. You're saying, I need Him. I need God in my life. Just lift up your hands right where you are this morning. I want to agree with you. Thank you. Hands right over there. Thank you. Right. Thank you right there. You can put those hands down. Thank you. Maybe the other group I want to pray for here today is you're saying, Pastor, you're talking to me. I need to renew my mind. Maybe there's just an area of my life where I've believed a lie. I've allowed some things to come in and I haven't been believing the truth. I haven't been renewing my mind. But man, today I'm making a decision, and it's a lot more than a decision. I'm putting a plan in place to begin to walk out that decision. I'm taking some steps and I need some help. I need the power of God to destroy some things in my life that I believe. You're saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm going to renew my mind. Just all across the stream, you're saying, that's me. Will you pray for me? Just lift up your hands right where you are. Hands all over. Lord, I thank you that even right now you're beginning to fill us with your Spirit and with your power. Lord God, I thank you the same power that raised Christ from the dead is even right now beginning to work in hearts and minds, that we are not prisoners to our past. We're not prisoners to shame. We're not prisoners to an addiction. We're not prisoners to the way that we think or we feel at any given moment. And I thank you just for freedom in this moment. Free to be who you called us to be. Free to be your sons and daughters. Free to run in the purpose and the plans you created us for. And so we thank you for it. Free to be free from fear. Free from worry and anxiety. In Jesus' name. Free from the opinions of others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. God, I thank you that even right now, you're just filling us, reminding us of the power you've put inside of us, the explosive, dynamic power that you've given each and every believer, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God, just for courage. Holy Spirit, remind us to take captive every thought that as we retrain our minds towards your truth. So I thank you for it, Lord God, that you're beginning new, that it's never too far, it's never too late, because you are the God that makes all things new. So we thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you for giving us joy in the process, that we don't have to feel condemned by it, we don't have to feel down about it, Lord God, but you love us and you're calling us to higher and better. So we give you thanks, Lord God, we give you praise for it. And as we stay in this moment of worship before the Lord, I want to take just a moment because I know that, we all deal with so many things. And sometimes it just feels so unrelenting, just so many things coming at us. And we're just trying to catch our breath sometimes and dealing with so many things. I know I deal with things too. But I just wanted to take a moment, just as your pastor, as the father of this house, and just speak a blessing over you. Just declare the truth over your lives. So this morning, I would just encourage you, just whatever you need, whatever posture you need to put yourself into, a place to receive this blessing today. Maybe some would close their eyes, maybe lift their hands. Whatever you need to just receive this from the Lord today, because this is the truth about who you are. If you are in Christ, you put your faith in Jesus, this is the truth of who you are. So just receive this today. You are strong and mighty. You have the power of Christ working in you. And that power of Christ working in you is greater than wrong desires in you. You are an agent of righteousness in this dark world. You are not your past. You are not what you did. You are a son and a daughter of God. You are who God says you are. He says you are forgiven. He says, you are chosen. He says, you are His. You are redeemed and you are free. So you're not a hostage to unhealthy thoughts. You're not a hostage to unhealthy habits. You're not a hostage to substances or things that other people say that we need. The weapons you fight with are not the weapons of this world, but the weapons that you've been given by your Creator are mighty. They're strong and they pull down strongholds. They destroy every pretension that tries to set itself up against God in your life and in your family. You are a leader and you've been called. The world will be a better place because you serve Jesus today. You are a leader in your family and you are setting forth the direction of your family that you and your whole family will serve God all the days of your life. You have the mind of Christ directing your thoughts. You have the Word of God directing your steps. Worry and fear is not your master. You trust God. And peace guards your heart and it guards your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is your helper, so you are not afraid. You are not afraid. You are empowered. You are chosen. You are called. You are a masterpiece created by God in Christ Jesus to do good things in this world, and which He ordained for you to do before the world began. And nothing in this world can pull you out of His hand. And we are called. So we thank you, Jesus.